Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This is entitled The Parable of the Talents. And there have been a number of teachings now that Jesus has had. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Before that, the faithful and the unfaithful slave. The coming of the Son of Man. In addition, signs of the end of the age. And here, Jesus continues to talk about the end times. In other words, when he comes again in glory. That was a theme throughout Matthew. And once again, Jesus speaks this word of truth. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. The same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave! You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the reading of the words of truth that can be trusted. Praise be to God. Will you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Thank you for how you continue to be guiding us. And thank you for your word of truth that can be trusted. It is in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. I participated in something yesterday that I've never participated before in my life. A half marathon. You are looking at me. I'm all in one piece. I'm not with a walker. I'm here present this morning, and you're thinking, it's not possible. Well, it isn't, because I didn't run a half marathon. I ran a little over 3 miles, and running is to kind of stretch the truth of it, okay? It wasn't really running. It was what I call low and slow. Slotting the feet in the dirt, kind of moving forward, just moving forward. Thank goodness that I didn't pass out and fall into the canal. And what was interesting is, as there were individuals that I knew that I was on the same team, because it was a relay, that was at the end, whenever I was going to go ahead and thank goodness and prayerfully and saying thank God, pass off the chip that they needed to carry with them, you know, they didn't recognize me at first. And they saw this lumbering form coming towards them. And they didn't recognize me and recognize me. And then all of a sudden, they recognized, that's Pastor Neil. Well, you know why they didn't recognize me? I had a hat on. And they were looking for this glow and this shining light, encouraging people. And they saw this lumbering form coming towards them, just gasping for breath, and but they still cheered for me whenever I got there, and I cheered for them as they continued the race. They didn't recognize me. You know, I was over in one of the lots, okay, where they sell vehicles, and maybe you've sold your vehicle there, and I was waving fervently at this brother in Christ who owns the lot, and I was waving at him, and I was jumping up and down. It was the same day. It was yesterday. It was just that morning. I was dropping off something, and he's staring at me and staring at me, and all of a sudden, I took off my hat, and he goes, oh, and he drove over and greeted me, and then he was kind to me. In our faith, do people, without us even saying a word, recognize that we are Christians? Or are we undercover? Do people recognize that we are people of faith in how we are living? Or do they just kind of stare at us and not sure what to make of us? For us, as people of faith, we are called to, well, let our light shine. And allow that to shine out into the world, and however God guides us and however God wants to move through us, to be faithful in our discipleship and in our servanthood, and to give witness to the resurrected Christ in what we do and say. The question for us, and especially after looking at this particular scripture passage, how are we living between now, this very moment, and when Christ comes again? This is called the parable of the talents in most study Bibles now. And by the way, if you look at older translations of the Bible, Bibles that were published years ago, it wasn't broken up with these headings into these sections. So that's why I say, when you look at a newer study Bible, they'll have it broken up into sections. And they'll say, this is the parable of the talents. They might even break it up into smaller sections. This is a time in which Jesus has been talking about when he will come again, because he knows what awaits him: the cross, crucifixion, death. But there's more to come. There is more to come. The death of Christ on the cross is not the end of the story. Praise God. That is not the end of the story. That is only the beginning. And it points to the greater truth of Christ resurrected, alive and living this very day, and at work in his church, and we are his church. And so Christ, in teaching in this way and in telling these stories, is saying something more. He's saying, how are you going to live whenever I'm gone? How are you going to live whenever I'm gone? This is more than simply a plan offered by Jesus to increase our investments. There are pastors known as prosperity gospel pastors who preach this particular passage and say, if you do certain things, then God is going to bless you with riches. God is going to bless you with all sorts of material things. And that is not what this passage is about. It's something very deeper and something more intimate. Christ says, as I have led you, as I have talked to you, as I have shown you a different way, how are you going to remember that way whenever I'm gone? And how will people see me alive through you whenever I am no longer present? Is that clear, church? Amen? Anybody still with me out there? I didn't mean to startle you or wake you up. I'm sorry about that. But this is important. How are we going to be the presence of Christ in the world in between times? We understand as Christians that he will come again. We understand as those who claim his name that he will come in glory. We don't know the time. We don't know the place. So for all of those who are tempted to follow different predictions that the end of the world or Jesus is coming back on May 12th, 2012, don't plan on it, okay? Because nobody can predict that. Jesus, in this teaching, gets our attention because certainly the first two slaves do multiply what was given to them. They are very faithful. The last slave is guided by a completely different emotion. And that emotion is one of fear. Whenever fear guides us as the church, then God's work is not accomplished. Whenever fear guides us as the church, then individuals are excluded from the fellowship. Whenever fear guides us as the church, then we are not willing to reach beyond ourselves and stretch ourselves and try something new that God is guiding us to do because it may not work out. Well, you know what, folks? It may not work out. But if God is guiding us to do it, maybe it's going to work out in the way that God wants it to work out, not following our plans. And it is really God's plans and God's agenda that we are called to be about. That stretches us, doesn't it? Is it wise to be prudent? Of course. We are called to be people of prayer, and we are called to be people of discernment to seek how God is the one who's moving us and our ministry. Not just to say, boy, this sounds like a good idea to me, so I'm going to do it. How is God moving in it all? How is God speaking to us today? We have a God who acts generously to us, acts incredibly generously to us. And so we must not act in a timid way in response, should we? We are called, rather, to respond to how God has blessed us and be a blessing to others. We are called to respond to how God has spoken to us and speak truth to others. We are called to respond in a way that God has loved us and to love others in what we do and what we say. Reverend Rudy Rasmus is a United Methodist pastor in Houston, and he started a ministry there, an extensive, vibrant ministry to the homeless population of that city. What has happened in a matter of 10 years is now there are 3,000 people who are homeless who are members of his church. The ministry continues. Certainly, whenever they first started out with 9 members of this church, and they were reaching out and they were holding hands with people, they didn't know where those hands had been. They were reaching out to individuals, they were risking, they were going into areas of the world that they had never been in before. They were seeing God's creations, people that maybe they had passed by before and not even acknowledged, and they were seeing them as God's children now for the first time. Was that stretching somebody beyond their comfort zone? Absolutely. But were they being faithful stewards? Absolutely. This is a statement that he offers to people to encourage them to be faithful, not fearful. Quote, "I am often trying to offer a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. Don't give up today. Don't throw in the towel today. Don't kill yourself today. Don't walk away today from your family. Don't give up on your dream today because opportunity can possibly come your way tomorrow. I tell people all the time, if you can wrap your mind around Christ coming back to life, if you can wrap your mind around Christ coming back to life, then everything between your current predicament and Christ coming back to life sits in the realm of possibility." Amen. Amen. If I can believe this guy is alive, Christ, then everything dead in my life, including my perspective and my personal finances and my relationships, can also come back to life. At the core of hope is believing that as bad as it may be, it can get better. And our faith has to connect in some tangible way to that process of it getting better. Who do we trust? Who is still in control? Who are we called to be faithful to? Now, it is our call to go out from this place and share that and live it so that not only whenever people see us coming down, we don't have to take off our hats for them to recognize us. In our lives, in our worlds, in our words, they know who we are bearing witness to. The risen Christ, God the Father, God's Holy Spirit. What a joy it is to be called as His servants once again today and to go from this place knowing that God will be at work in our lives in surprising and hope-filled ways.